It's 8 o'clock in the morning in Chaiyu County in Tibet Autonomous Region. 43-year-old Yung Ching is making yak butter tea for her family. Her husband, Dang Sheng, is playing with their 3-year-old granddaughter, Basang Dronma.
Most of the time, we take care of our granddaughter. Her parents have to work. The little girl loves her grandpa the most. My husband is very good at doing house chores, such as cleaning, doing the laundry, and cooking. We never quarrel with each other. Our 3 daughters once said, they often saw other people's parents quarrel, but they never saw that happen between us. So they felt blessed to have us as parents.
Yung Ching and her husband have been living together as a family for more than 20 years now, but they've never formally registered their marriage.
We feel embarrassed about registering our marriage at such an old age. Some other couples like us in the village have already done it. We are over 40 years old, and we've become grandparents. We are required to do it, and we are reminded to get our marriage registration done again and again by our county officials.
Why didn't they register their marriage back when they decided to tie the knot? When Yung Ching met her husband, who was living in the county, she was a woman without a country, and her family members were all stateless.
My father, at the age of 5, fled to Myanmar from Tibet with my grandpa. They lived there for 30 years. Living undocumented in Myanmar, they could only stay in the mountain villages. Life was very hard.
Daddy, why didn't those children play with me? I really want to join them. They laughed at me and said that I'm an alien.
Oh, you're a good boy. I understand how frustrated you are. But when we've lived here for longer and have gotten familiar with the others, everything will be fine.
Before fleeing to Myanmar in the 1950s, Yung Ching's grandfather was a local resident in Chaiyu County. Before the democratic reform in 1959, Tibet was ruled for centuries by a feudal theocracy. Millions of people lived lives of serfdom, subjected to cruel exploitation and deprived of their rights by local government officials, nobles, and upper-ranking lamas in monasteries. Known as the 3 major estate holders, they held tight control over the land and production, and burdened the rest of the Tibetan people with inhumane taxes and levies.
Local people in Chaiyu County in the 1950s were ignorant. They heard a rumor saying that the Liberation Army was coming, that the taxes and levies would be much more exorbitant, that the local people could never afford that, and that life would be much harder.
Dad, why are we packing? Where are we going?
As I've told you, my boy, we'll be looking for the legendary Shangri-La. If we can get there, we won't suffer in serfdom anymore.
With the rumor about the Liberation Army spreading, many Tibetans began to run away from their homeland and flee to Myanmar.
After finishing the treacherous journey across the mountains to Myanmar, life didn't get any easier.
The living conditions were very harsh. Even shoes were a luxury for us at that time. We didn't have legal status, so we couldn't leave the designated village in Myanmar.
59-year-old Dan Jun is Yung Ching's uncle.
No one cared whether we lived or died in Myanmar. We only had ourselves to rely on. We only survived through hard work. Otherwise, we'd have starved to death. In Myanmar, we couldn't get any rice. We only had a small amount of corn and barley. Without any oil, we could only fry the corn using sand.
But as Yung Ching explains, the lack of food wasn't their only problem.
We were often told by the local people in Myanmar that we had no right to speak, as we were not native Burmese. When they had meetings in the village, we weren't allowed to attend.
This hardscrabble life continued for nearly 30 years until in 1986, Yong Qing's grandfather and uncle visited the trade crossing on the border near Jitai village in Chaiyu County. It was a visit that would lead their family to make another fateful decision.
After my grandpa and uncle visited the border trade crossing and came back to Myanmar, they said that great changes had taken place in the life of the local people in Chaiyu County, that it's totally different from what they heard before they fled to Myanmar. People in Tibet are living a very good life, and the local government spares no effort in improving the lives of the people. They told us what they had seen in the border region.
Grandpa, the snack you brought back is so yummy. I wish I could have gone with you to the border market.
Yongqing, you will have lots of opportunities to do that when you grow up. You will be able to taste lots of different snacks and live in a warm house and wear beautiful clothes and soft shoes.
Really, Grandpa? When?
After we get back to our hometown in Tibet, you'll get everything you dream of. Many years ago, we were misled by someone, and we moved to this foreign land. But now, we're going back home, no matter how hard that journey will be.
I'm not afraid of hardship, Grandpa. I want to go home.
After discussion and careful thought, my grandfather and uncles decided that the whole family would move back to Tibet.
To get from their village in Myanmar to the Chinese border, they had to climb over four high mountains. At the time, Yongqing was just 9 years old.
I remember it was in June or July. It was the season to harvest the barley. We were on foot all the way. We thought it would take 7 days, but we ended up walking for over a month.
We had to clear a path first by cutting down trees and filling in and leveling up the path. We had 26 people and 15 cows. There were no roads at all until we stepped over the Chinese border. My father and elder brothers were responsible for paving the way.
We had to carry our kids and our food on our back, and the older family members walked very slowly. After we'd eaten all the food we were carrying, we sold all of our ornaments for food. We also sold the jewelry that had been passed down from my ancestors.
Mom, are we going to die on this mountain?
No, my sweetie. Why do you say that?
Because you sold the bracelets you inherited, which was very important to you. Wasn't selling it our last resort?
The bracelet was precious to me, but you know what? Nothing in the world is more precious than you. The bracelet will help us to get back home, my good girl. Let's go home. Come on.
After walking for over a month, Yongqing's family, 26 people in all, finally made it to the Chinese border. But the troubles weren't over yet.
When we got near Chaiyu County, the local officials and border guards came over to stop us. They didn't let us continue on. We begged for their sympathy. We told them how hard our life was in Myanmar, that we wouldn't survive if we couldn't come back to China.
With nighttime approaching and unable to go any further, the family set up camp at the border.
Mom, I'm so scared. What if they don't let us pass?
My girl, there's no way back for us. We have to get through. And we will. Our whole family's here. We'll make it.
The next day, a jeep arrived at the border crossing. They were loaded into the jeep for repatriation.
Please, look at us. We've got no way back. Please, we'll die if you don't let us pass.
We understand your situation, but we have no right to let you cross the border.
Please.
When we were put into the jeep, we cried and we jumped out again and again. We told them that we really had no way back. They also had a dilemma, as they couldn't promise us whether we could stay.
Finally, after many rounds of crying and begging, it was agreed that they could stay, and arrangements were made for them to live temporarily in a nearby village.
We were not left to sink or swim. The local officials in the county helped us to borrow a place to live in nearby Kaba village, and they gave us some food. Because we weren't citizens, we had to stay within the county. At that time, we didn't care how far we could go, as long as we had food, clothes, and a place to live.
After staying in Kaba village for about 6 months, Yongqing and her family were moved into another village.
When we moved to where we live now, in 1986, we were given about 0.1 hectares of farmland to grow grain. And we were given rice, salt, and tea, as well as shoes by local government. At that time, life wasn't easy. We helped our neighbors with some farm work, and they paid us with grain and rice. They were good to us.
The family had the basics that they needed to survive, but without citizenship, they couldn't enroll in school, and they still weren't allowed to travel outside the county.
Yongqing, thanks for the barley wine you shared with us yesterday. Here's a bottle back.
I'm glad you liked it. Also, you look different today. What's the occasion?
We're going to visit Ningxi City to see this year's peach blossoms. I wish you could come with us.
No worries. Enjoy your trip. We'll have the opportunity to travel together in the future. There was no problem with food or accommodation. But the distance we could travel was restricted. Compared to other villagers, we felt inferior.
When Yongqing was 17, she realized that she had another challenge ahead of her after she met her Mr. Right. Yongqing met her husband in 1998 at the local hospital when she accompanied her brother to see the doctor. She recalls that bittersweet moment back then.
I thought he was very handsome. I got worried after we fell in love. I told him that I might not be able to marry him and live with his family as I didn't have citizenship. He comforted me, saying that he could go anywhere with me.
Yongqing moved in with her husband Dang Sheng's family. During their third year of living together, Yongqing was discovered living with the family without a household registration by officials conducting a demographic census.
Oh, the day has finally come. I can't live in the village any longer without citizenship.
Sweetheart, everything will be fine. Just don't forget, I'll always be with you no matter what. Looks like our best option for now is to take the kids and move to your parents' village. At least we'll be together and we can live out our lives there.
I went with my husband and our two children to my parents' place. My parents provided us with a small house. It was about the size of the kitchen we have now. We had nothing at that time, except for three cooking pots, one for boiling butter tea, one for rice, and the other for cooking vegetables.
Life wasn't easy, but the couple never surrendered to the obstacles that got in their way.
We survived by digging wild pine mushrooms and doing odd jobs. I was mainly responsible for taking care of the family, while he focused on earning our bread by working on the road and repairing other people's houses.
Yongqing also worked away from home when she could. In those days, they could only make about 20 yuan, or about $3 a day.
Although our life was tough, we didn't feel miserable or bitter. I remember when he went out to dig caterpillar fungus in the mountains, I was about to give birth to our child. I was back working just half a day after I gave birth. We survived that hard life. I never thought about giving up. It didn't matter whether I had legal status or not. I could wait.
20 years after Yongqing and her family had returned to Chaiyu County from Myanmar, her dream came true when she was finally awarded citizenship of the People's Republic of China in 2006.
Honey, good news! The head of the village just told me that my citizenship has been approved.
Really? So you're not undocumented anymore? Wow, I'm so excited. This is amazing.
Me too. We are real family now. We were extremely excited the day we got the citizenship and household registration. From the day on, we became real Chinese. We no longer needed to worry about anything or to be afraid of anything. Our life was getting better year after year. At the beginning, we lived in a wooden shack. Years later, we got the plank house with a tin roof. It was about 113 square meters. Our house has been repaired and rebuilt 3 times over decades past. The one we're living in now is made of steel reinforced concrete. We built this house in 2017 at a cost of about 300,000 yuan. We covered about half of the cost ourselves, and we were given a subsidy of 120,000 yuan by the government.
The house itself covers an area of 235 square meters, and the courtyard is about 200 square meters.
The couple now makes a living by farming and doing some odd jobs.
We have 3.3 hectares of farmland for corn. We also do some odd jobs, such as digging caterpillar fungus in May and June. It usually takes about 4 or 5 days to track to where the caterpillar fungus grows. We take rice, water, barley and butter tea with us, as well as a tent. Usually we stay in the mountains for about 20 days during that season. And we can make 50,000 to 60,000 yuan.
On top of this income, the couple is also entitled to various subsidies from the government.
We can get various subsidies each year. They add up to 40,000 yuan a year. I've got everything I expected. I feel like there's no better place than home.
Now that she doesn't have to worry about her citizenship, and with enough work available to make a good living, Yongqing has started to pursue other dreams. In her spare time, when she's not working on the farm, she's learning to read and write, thanks to classes provided by the local government. She's also the head of the women's committee in the village. She's responsible for helping the 160 women in the village to solve daily problems, to learn, and to pick up new skills.
We aren't short of manpower in the family. Now that our children have grown up, I usually spend 1 or 2 days a week working for the women's committee in the village. I'm responsible for organizing for the women to learn how to take better care of their health, such as what health checkups they should have each year, how to prevent a miscarriage during pregnancy, and so on.
Yongqing says she has received a lot of help from other people in the past, so she is keen to help others, especially the people in the underprivileged families in the village.
Usually, these underprivileged families are short of hands, so me and the other women in our village often help them with farm work. I've lived under tough conditions before. A lot of people helped us. We really appreciated that. So, when I see someone who needs help now, I want to give them a helping hand. Today, all of the underprivileged families in our village have been lifted out of poverty.
Yongqing and her husband have three daughters. The eldest is a third-year student at university in Jiangsu province. Their second daughter works at the petrol station in Chaiyu County. She's also the mother of their three-year-old granddaughter, Basang Dronma. And their youngest daughter is now a middle school student.
Every evening, we have a video call with our eldest daughter at university, unless she tells us that she's too busy to talk. And we have three Wi-Fi connections at home. One is in this sitting room. The other two are in my second daughter's bedroom and in the courtyard.
I don't have class. It's raining outside. I've been busy lately preparing for the upcoming civil servant exam. I miss the tasty food at home.
Yongqing's eldest daughter usually comes home for a visit at the end of each semester. But this year, she missed her summer holiday back at home because of the disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Yongqing says she hopes her eldest daughter can find a good job, no matter where she chooses to live after she graduates.
There's nothing that we need to worry about. Children are entitled to 15 years of free education, and we have medical insurance. I just hope that my other two daughters can get satisfying jobs.
Once all her daughters have grown up and created lives of their own, Yongqing has her own plans for the future.
After my daughters get jobs, I have a plan to travel to cities around the country. After I got my ID card in 2006, I started planning to look around the world outside. I went to Lhasa once. The city was so big, I almost got lost. I like the city, but I feel like there's no longer a big difference between regions. You can live a happy life no matter which city you live in.
Opening up the decades-old family album, Yongqing has mixed feelings.
This is the only old photo left. Look at my parents. They're still wearing the clothes they bought before they got married. And look at me back then. I had no shoes. Among all the people who returned from Myanmar, my grandpa was the eldest. He passed away about 5 years ago at 101 years of age. My parents died about 2 and 3 years ago. They always said that they wouldn't have any regrets or concerns when he passed away. They often reminded me to cherish this hard-won life, saying that our country had given our family a lot. Although they wanted to give something back, there was nothing they could do. Because of this, I should love our country deeply. When we were on our way home 20 years ago, we sold everything we had for food. It was the local government who offered us everything: rice, butter, tea and salt. That's how we made it here, step by step. Life used to be so hard in Myanmar, but it's like heaven here. I feel happy and I do what I can to live a good life, just the same as other local people do.
Yongqing is a member of one of the 30 or so households in Chaiyu County that have returned to their homeland from Myanmar. Myanmar.